You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Luke Elder, John Budden and Rory Delaghi in the studio. It's Newton Abbott, Redcar and Stratford on the domestic front. Also got good racing over in Ireland from the Curragh. We'll take selected races from there where they fit. So plenty to look forward to. Right now, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joining the studio to look ahead to the action by Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, actually, Mark, and much looking forward to the racing over the next fortnight.
Yeah, some good stuff coming up, isn't there, John?
Really good stuff, yes. You know, Ascot, then Goodwood, and a little bit of summer jumping as well.
Yeah. We seem to be rattling through this slot season, John.
It's incredible, isn't it, how time goes? I don't want to wish my life away, Mark, but it is quite astonishing how fast the summer appears to be going.
Yeah. One of the back-end races of the summer will be the Gymcrack at York. And the reason I bring that up, John, is because Macaris was a very impressive winner at Newbury on Friday, winning the Rose Bowl in good style. That might be the next target for Macaris. And he's also been given a quote of 16-1 for the 2,000 guineas next year as well. So just in terms of target races, John, do you think that's the most likely option?
Well, the 2,000 guineas might conceivably be a little bit over the horizon, but nevertheless, as you say, a very impressive winner, Macaris at Newbury. I quite like the connection between Newbury and York, Mark. You know, they're both sort of wide galloping tracks, and if you act well at one, you will tend to act well at the other. I think Macaris has got a really good chance in the Gymcrack, and if that is won well, then the 2,000 guineas could be considered.
Yeah. So that's just in the future, just a bit of a news update there. Let's talk about some jockeys, John. I know you want to talk about one in particular, but just want to start with Hayley Turner, back in the saddle on Friday and Saturday, gearing up towards the Shergar Cup at Ascot, and she seems like she's enjoying it back in the saddle.
Yes, I think she is. She's determined to impress upon us that she is not intending on a comeback in any sort of permanent way. But actually, the QC, James Millman, was remarking about her booking to go for the Shergar Cup, saying that she would need at least 2 days solid race riding if she was to be anything like her best at Ascot. He said that, interestingly, he said you can have as much riding on the gallops as you like and do work every day, but if in fact you're going to ride five races, as Hayley will, in quick succession at the Shergar Cup, you really do need to be in race riding fitness practice. So I think it's excellent that Hayley's taking this very seriously indeed, and quite clearly she's, you know, making every effort to be absolutely A1 fit for the Shergar Cup, a target for which she's very keen to excel in.
Yeah, but as you mentioned, John, she keeps insisting that it's not a comeback, it's just a bit of match practice.
we shall see. We shall see. You know, I'd love to see her back, quite honestly, because with Sammy Jo Bell, you know, still out and going to be out for some time, we do need a glamorous, charismatic figure at the top of the female flat jockeys list, and there's no one more charismatic than Hayley Turner, although one or two people might make me sort of think again on that score, but I think the ranks would love to see Hayley Turner back.
All right, there's another jockey you want to talk about, though, isn't there? John, you were mentioning before we came in here that somebody's really impressed you of late.
Yes. I'm not absolutely certain whether Channel 4 are running still their sort of Jockey of the Month award, but if they were, then they would have to seriously consider Craig Nicol. Craig Nicol's performance at Perth last Sunday was really quite out of this world. Mm. He was riding a horse I nabbed, actually, called Wicked Spice for Nicky Richards. And I thought that he'd got a fair chance. But then I just happened to be looking at the race, and the wretched horse jumped left at virtually every single fence. Well, you know, that's pretty disastrous when you're on a tight right-hand track like Perth.
Yeah.
However, Craig sat tight. He kept the horse in touch, and although really quite a long way away, back in third place as they turned for home, and I thought, well, a pencil through the old nap, he kept at it. And at the penultimate fence, he had moved into second place, but was still something like 10 or 12 lengths behind the Irish Raider, Western Home, I think it was called. And Wicked Spice made the most colossal blunder at the penultimate fence. Absolutely plowed through the top of it. And, you know, Craig sat tight doing a radio act, but the momentum that had been caused by this appalling mistake by Wicked Spice meant that, A, he lost an arm, B, the saddle slipped right backwards, so the only way he could possibly continue would be to take his other iron free and ride without stirrups. And it looked a hopeless pursuit, but he kept on. And, of course, luck was on his side on this occasion. The Irish Raider fell at the final fence, and Wicked Spice cleared it, minus stirrups, and Craig won eventually by 11 lengths. But, you know, it was a tremendous bit of horsemanship, and he really does deserve some sort of award for it.
Let's leave that there. Let's move on to Sunday's racing. John's got four races prepared for us, and we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Sunday's racing. And we're going to go through these in chronological order. We start in the 3:05 at the Curragh, which is the Minstrel Stakes, a Group 2 over 7 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. A field of 9 for this year's renewal, including last year's winner, Gordon Lord Byron. But I imagine, John, that the market will be headed by Dick Whittington, who arrives here on the back of a Group 3 success in the Ballycora Stakes last time.
Yes, a very easy win too, and obviously an improving sort, and is going to be very hard to beat here. There can be no question about that. It will be a dull selection, but it may well turn out, Mark, that we have to go for Dick Whittington. Gordon Lord Byron won this race, as you say, last year, and did win last time out, and it was, I think, probably a preparatory race to try and retain this particular Minstrel Stakes crown. Was a pretty modest race at Tipperary, but Gordon Lord Byron did win it, and you know, he's a tremendous campaigner, so it wouldn't surprise one to see Tom Hogan's really tremendous performer go close again. One or two possibilities from this side of the Irish Sea. What do you think about Ad Day? Has Ad Day ever been one of your horses to follow, Mark?
Yeah, well, I thought Ade ran well at Newmarket last time, when second in the Criterion Stakes. Yeah, I think he's one of the main players here, John.
He certainly has to be one of the major players, doesn't he, Ade? I think this is a horse who can still improve. The ground was pretty heavy at Newmarket too, and he was just beaten by Breton Rocks. No disgrace, that. And the fact that William Haggis has decided to cross the sea with Ade is interesting. I think will go well. Jim Bulger, Flight Risk, hasn't won for really quite a long time. Been knocking at the door, perhaps, but the door has resolutely refused to open. I think Sovereign Debt might just be a little bit, you know, out of his depth. He's a wonderful horse to own, but a very frustrating one, and was inevitably just beaten at Chester last time out, but has run well on the occasional trip in Ireland. So we come down to it. I think it's a match, really, between Dick Whittington and Ad Day. And I think Dick Whittington won so well last time, it's going to be very hard to beat.
Dick Whittington, then, the selection for John in the 3:05 at the Curragh. Onto the domestic action now, and the 320 at Stratford. This is a handicap chase over 2¾ miles and a field of 11 to go to post here. John, which ones do you like in there?
Interesting little race, this. Standing ovations in the contest. It's his time of year, but, you know, he's getting a bit long in the fang and hasn't done anything recently, so it'll be a bit of a surprise were he to return to winning form here. The same could be said about John Joe O'Neill's runner, Twirling Magnet, who has been performing in Hunter Chases recently, and it's some time since he was actually a winner under rules. And the only thing in his favour is that young Jack Savage is in the saddle, taking £10 off. And, you know, the summer's coming around, and it might be Twirling Magnet's time of year. I thought, though, it was really a close-run thing between Oliver Sherwood's mount, Royal Rays, who's been ridden by Tom Garner, claiming a good £3 off, and also the Rebecca Curtis runner, A Relentless Dreamer. Let's take Relentless Dreamer first of all. Paul Townend riding for Rebecca Curtis, a winner both times on the last two outings. It's gone up £10, was a narrow winner at Forslass and then bolted up at Newton Abbott. Many people will say, well, Newton Abbott and Stratford are a little bit similar. They're both tightish left-handed tracks, so one would expect Relentless Dreamer to go very well here. Royal Rays has also done well, has scored at Market Raisin and run well at Ludlow. Could go extremely well. But Rebecca Curtis, Paul Townend, Relentless Dreamer, I think, will complete the hat-trick here.
Relentless Dreamer, then, to complete the hat-trick for Lord Budden in the 320 at Stratford. Moving to Redcar next for their 4:45, and this one is a handicap. It's over 6 furlongs, and 14 of them in the lineup here. John, I suppose we should start with Free Zone, who arrives here in good nick, really. Comes here chasing the hat-trick.
Yeah, and a tremendous nick, isn't he? He used to be rated between 90 and 100, so he was a very decent horse in his time. Beat one of my naps at Carlisle two outings ago, Free Zone. But Bondi Beach Babe, that was, and he won fairly easily. Then I thought he, on the strength of that, had to win at Hamilton last time out. Absolutely skated in. There was no problem at all. And, you know, he's right at the top of his form, goes well over the trip, and it's going to be hard to beat. Josh Doyle gets on well, taking £5 off. He's definitely in the mix, Free Zone, going for a hat trick. There are others, though. For example, Desert Ace, representing my go-to trainer, Ian Jardine. Now, Desert Ace has previously been with Clive Cox and also with Michael Dodds, and was made a strong favourite to win a race at Carlisle, a better race than the one that Free Zone scored in earlier. And unlucky Desert Ace was, got a little bit squeezed at the start, and there was a front runner in the contest who dropped back suddenly round about a furlong marker and caused quite a bit of traffic jam behind, and allowed Confessional, who was ridden by Jack Garrity on the wide outside, to come up and take the race by the scruff of the neck. Desert Ace actually ran on quite strongly in the closing stages, and I think he's got a definite squeak here in this 4:45 at Redcar. We've also got Funding Deficit, and it's quite a big field. The draw might come into being here too, Mark. And definitely on the far side is a horse with a chance, Map in Time. Now, Map in Time is going to be ridden by Rachel Richardson for Tim Easterby. Normally more a Wolverhampton horse, Map in Time, but ran an extremely good race at Beverley last time out, when second to the name is Rio. And any repetition of that particular running makes Map in Time a real player. This is a fascinating race. I'm going to go for Desert Ace to pull it out of the fire.
Desert Ace, then, for John in the 4:45 at Redcar, and we finish off in the 4:55 at Newton Abbott. This is a Class 4 handicap hurdle. It's over 3¼ miles, a field of 10 to go to post for this one, John. And some informed runners here as well, the likes of Peter Brown and Kentford Myth and Dunscaith all arrive here in winning form. Who do you think will come out on top on this occasion?
Yes, well, I thought Peter Brown's going to be difficult to beat for Philip Hobbs, still on a reasonable mark. But Andy Thornton has been in William Hill Towers over the weekend, and I had a brief word with him, and he says that Kent Foot Myth will definitely stay the trip, every yard of the trip. Forget the race over the distance at Plumpton earlier in the season. That was in the middle of the winter. This is a spring-summer horse, and he's very hopeful that Kentford Myth will win. The fly in his ointment could be Quinto, though. I've been waiting for Quinto to run. Ex-John Quinn, and now with Jimmy Frost, and he's got Sam Twiston Davis in the saddle here. Quinto was a winner at Catterick earlier in the season for John Quinn, and it wouldn't surprise me at all to see Quinto come out on top, and I'm going to go with that one.
Quinto, then, the selection for John there in the 4.55. As usual, John, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go. If you'll just spin us through your selections then for Sunday.
Well, I thought in the 3.05, Dick Whittington's going to be very hard to beat at the Curragh. In the 3.20 at Stratford, we're going to go for Rebecca Curtis's runner in this particular contest, Relentless Dreamer, to complete a hat-trick. In the 4.45 at Redcar, very tight races, but I've gone with Desert Ace. And in the 4.55, at Newton Abbott, the choice is Quinto.
Superb. Good work, John. Thank you very much. Good luck, and enjoy it on Sunday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
So that's the thoughts of Lord John Bunnan on Sunday's racing. He'll be in the studio. He'll be joined by Luke Elder and Rory Delaghi. It's Newton Abbott, Redcar and Stratford on the domestic front. Good racing over in the Curragh as well. We'll take the best of the action there, and that all starts at 1.45 on Sunday, so do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.